From the banks of the Colorado River in Lake Mead to the homes and businesses in Southern Nevada, welcome to Water Smarts, the podcast pumping from the heart of Las Vegas, where we engage with the experts who keep the water flowing throughout Southern Nevada. I'm Bronson Mack.
And I'm Crystal Zelke. From how we treat it, deliver it, use it, protect it, and conserve it, the Water Smarts podcast is all about water in Southern Nevada. We hope to make you a little smarter about the one thing that keeps us all connected, water.
Hey, Crystal, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying the slightly warmer temperatures we're finally starting to get, but I'm not enjoying the wind. I'm kind of over it. Seems windy all the time.
You know what? That happens in springtime here in Southern Nevada. It's really spring and fall when we see that wind. But let me ask you a question, Crystal. What are you supposed to do when we're on an excessively windy day and it just happens to be your watering day?
You should not have your water running. You should turn off your sprinklers because what's the point? The wind is blowing it off your lawn anyway.
Perfect. Fantastic answer. You are absolutely right. When the wind is blowing and we're rolling our sprinkler systems, spraying that water up into the air, that water is really not landing on the grass because that wind is just carrying it on away for it to evaporate. So on those windy days, you got to make sure that you shut off your sprinkler system. And kind of talking a little bit more about sprinkler systems and ways in which we can conserve water, especially within our business sector here in Southern Nevada, is Patrick Watson, SNWA Conservation Programs Administrator, which really just means he knows his stuff when it comes to water conservation. Patrick Watson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Water Smarts Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Patrick, I know that recently our community hit a pretty significant milestone when it comes to removing grass and replacing our landscapes with water smart landscaping. But my understanding is that we've only removed about half the grass that needs to be replaced in this valley. Where is that grass right now? And what are we doing to target that? Can you help us understand that?
You're exactly right. The grass is in the form of non-functional turf. And that's turf that's on street medians, on street sides, entrances to HOAs and other types of properties, in commercial business parks. It's turf that is not programmable. You can't have a kid's birthday party on it. You can't play a game of soccer or football on it. It has no recreational value. The only person really that's on it is the guy that's mowing it or taking care of it. So that's non-functional turf. And we're targeting that grass because grass uses a lot of water. It uses 55 gallons per square foot, more than if it were drip irrigated plants and trees. And keep in mind, we've been in a severe drought for going on 21 years now, and it's not letting up. We don't have a calendar date set for the drought to end. We don't know when it's going to end. So we need to be careful about all of our water resources. It's important to also know that 90% of our water comes from the Colorado River via Lake Mead. And the lake has dropped 130 feet since the drought began. That's a 13-story building. Think about that. That's a lot of water, and it's going to continue to drop. And because of that, we're going to face a federally declared shortage by early 2022. And that means we take less of our allocation from the lake, and that allocation is going to be about 7 billion gallons less water. And that's enough to serve 60,000 households. So every drop needs to be taken care of, and we really need to manage how much water we use outdoors. It's important to also remember that water that's used indoors, we can capture and clean that water and return it back to the lake, and it's called return flow credits. So if you take a shower, that water used in the shower hits a drain, it goes to the sanitary sewer into a treatment plant. We clean it to near drinking water standards and put it back in the lake, and we can draw that same water right back out again and reuse it. Water that's used outdoors, however, is lost to our system. It's consumed. It's gone. We can't get it back.
So, Patrick, you just gave us a lot to think about there, and I know we're going to unpack some of this throughout the podcast, but my understanding is we're trying to replace more than 200 million square feet of grass still with drip irrigated landscapes. We've taken out about that much so far, but it's taken us since 1999, so over 20 years to reach that milestone. Like you said, with the drought worsening and our community facing a reduction in our water allocation, I expect we want to get rid of that grass sooner rather than later, right? We don't want to take another 20 years.
You're absolutely right. And we've set some pretty aggressive goals. Our goal is to remove 150 acres of grass per year going forward. That's 6.5 million square feet a year. That's a lot of grass. But it's important since grass is one of the largest water users in this valley. If we can replace the grass that no one uses with drip irrigated plants and shrubs, we can reduce our water use without losing the aesthetic of the property. Single Family Residential has stepped up and they've taken out a lot of turf. And right now, they have about 20% of the grass that still needs to be taken out. But businesses are lagging behind. The business community hasn't stepped up. They really are lagging. We need more involvement from the business community, and it would benefit them in the long run.
That's really interesting. We've got Single Family Residential, which is just your typical homeowners. We've seen a lot of activity within our single family sector, homeowners taking out grass, replacing that with water smart landscaping. Obviously, more work to do there. So we're talking to you, homeowners. Get out there, replace that grass with water smart landscaping. But on that commercial side, it's really interesting to me because I would think that commercial properties understand the benefits of water conservation programs, especially a program like this, because commercial properties are all about the bottom line, right? It's about the profit. So you would think that a program like this, that they would see the benefits of reducing their water bills, reducing their maintenance costs, all of those things benefit the business without affecting customers coming into that business. So what are you hearing from commercial property owners about why they're not removing that grass from their properties?
Well, a lot of them say they're afraid their tenants will get angry. The older apartment complexes and HOAs with grass throughout their communities, they're worried about residents' backlash. You know, hey, what are you doing? Why are you taking out our grass? My dog doesn't have any place to play or whatever. We're just not hearing that. Our research has shown that residents expect them to be water smart. They want them to do the right thing and take out the turf and use less water. Business complex and apartments, they may be managed locally, but a lot of the times their decision makers live out of state. So a lot of these big commercial parks and apartment complexes have owners that are in New York. And you can imagine, you know, we see every year or every winter, New York's buried in snow, and then they'll have torrential rains and things like that. So they don't really feel or know the climate here or know the issues that we have with water. So one of the things that we have to do is get to the right person, the right decision maker.
So what is the Water Authority doing to reach these companies, and what benefits are you touting to convince them to participate in our programs?
Well, certainly any business is more interested in the bottom line and their return on investment. And that's how we're approaching these businesses and properties. Replacing grass with drip irrigated plants does have benefits in more ways than one. Certainly the reduced water bill, that's the big one right up front. But you also have reduced damages to hardscapes like sidewalks, parking lots. You know, a parking lot, the asphalt, there are two things that damage asphalt, sunlight and water. If you can reduce one of those, you'll probably get a longer life out of that parking lot. The other thing is we've seen with apartment complexes is it might cost them $500,000 to paint their complex by taking the turf away from the walls and different things that need to be painted. They can extend that out and reduce their capital costs. You can also renegotiate maintenance costs. They don't need to be, you know, water smart landscapes don't need to be mowed every week. And drip irrigated landscaping is less maintenance intensive. So they could come in once or twice a year and kind of clean up the plants and you're good to go. It also gives the property, when you do a water smart landscapes, it gives the property kind of a facelift. We've seen some of these older commercial properties or commercial parks where they have to compete with this new construction. And just recently, I was in a meeting with commercial development, and it hasn't stopped. The pandemic hasn't impacted commercial development whatsoever, and that's office space and industrial space. So these older parks have to compete with these newer buildings. So why not upgrade the outside and reduce the cost of ownership at the same time?
Patrick, you make a really good point, because when I drive throughout the valley, I will see commercial properties out there that still have the grass, whether it's in the parking lot or in that streetscape. And that property that has the grass just really looks dated to me. It looks like a property that has been in the valley for a very, very long time. And I got to assume that if you are an individual that is looking for rental space for your business or your office, you're going to be looking for a property that has a nice aesthetic to it. And if we can get some of these existing properties to upgrade that landscape, it's going to make them a little bit more competitive in the market, and it helps save some water along the way. So Patrick, with the commercial properties that have taken advantage of the Water Smart Landscape program, that have removed grass from their properties, what is it that you hear from them? Are they satisfied with the results? Do they have happy tenants, or have their tenants shown up with pitchforks and torches?
No. Actually, they've had some pretty positive feedback. And when they have had tenants come to them, or homeowners, or whatever that might be, you know, when they explain what's going on, it kind of sinks in, and they realize that, yeah, this is the right thing to do. So, for example, the facility manager at Sun City Anthem out in Henderson, he had a handful of residents that were concerned about the HOA's conversions projects, and they've done some really nice work out there, even around their clubhouses. He met with each one. He toured them around the complex, explained how much money they were spending on water. And you can imagine in Sun City, money is, it's an important topic to them. And so when you're talking money, they're going to listen. And he helped them understand why these changes were important, not only from a financial standpoint, but also from a community ethics standpoint as well. So while they preferred the grass, they did understand why they did it and why they took out the grass, and they now support it. And they're some of his biggest cheerleaders out there.
Can you talk just a little bit, Patrick, about the survey that was conducted with HOAs and kind of what the sentiment was as far as support for the Water Smart Landscape program?
We did a survey with HOAs, and we were concerned that there would be a lot of pushback from the residents in HOAs that, you know, we don't want to take out our turf in common areas or in areas that these non-functional turf areas, it'll hurt the property and hurt our property values. Well, that's not the case. That's not what they believe. They really truly believe that they should be doing something in terms of water conservation. Not all of them believe that it will hurt their property values. And what we've found over the years in HOAs is you have a very small minority that are very vocal. And that's true with any HOA. The old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, that's what property managers and boards are hearing. They're hearing these vocal minorities, and their opinions don't represent the majority, I should say. So we found that Water Smart Landscapes is very much supported in the community and in HOA communities.
And I believe that. I think it's just a mentality or a mindset that maybe a lot of people have, especially people that have moved here from other places. I mean, we talk about this a lot. I appreciate when I meet people who have come from other places and they get it and they understand this is a desert. It's not the same where I lived before. And I understand that grass can't really just exist here like it does other places. And it bothers me when I see grass outside of a neighborhood, especially if it's on a slope and the sprinklers are just going and going and you see that water just running down. And I even just said to Bronson earlier that I always feel bad for the poor soul that has to mow a big slope of grass. What can residents do to convince their HOAs to convert useless grass to a water smart landscape?
There are lots of things that they can do. Non-functional turf is turf that's in street medians, community entrances, along streets, and even in odd places no one uses. So there are a lot of HOAs that just have grass because it was easier to put in, and they're kind of been tucked away in little spots that nobody knows about or except the guy that's mowing them. So if someone feels like, you know what, this is something our community should do, we should do water smart landscape projects, they can contact a board member and be the advocate for that. We have staff here at Southern Nevada Water Authority that will help you and be resources for everything that you need. You can start by calling us. If you need us to do a presentation to your board, we'll come out and do that. We can explain our programs. We can also give you an idea of how much you're spending on watering the turf. And if you're overwatering or underwatering, we can do an analysis and give you that information. So we can supply as much information as you need to help the board and your neighbors make that decision. And I think at the end of the day, with the information that we can provide, you'll feel comfortable in making that decision.
Patrick, so what I'm hearing is that the Southern Nevada Water Authority, you and your team are willing to go out, talk to HOAs, talk to HOA boards, provide information to those boards about their water use, about what kind of water savings they could achieve by replacing that grass, and ultimately convert that into dollars saved. That is an excellent service that you provide in order to help these HOAs make an informed decision about what is best for them. But Patrick, can you talk to us a little bit more about what businesses can do besides replacing grass to save water and save money?
The easiest thing to do is change their sprinkler clock 4 times a year and water on your assigned day. We offer other financial incentives to businesses that install water-efficient appliances, plumbing fixtures, and even new technologies, things that we haven't even seen before. So we'll give you incentives for those. A good example is an ice machine. We've had businesses replace ice machines. A golf course, you can imagine Red Rock and Siena golf courses, they give their players ice to go out on the golf course in the summer. You can imagine how much ice they go through. They've replaced their ice machines with air-cooled ice machines, which saves about 3 million gallons of water a year. And our incentive helped pay for that. It helped pay up almost half of what those machines cost. So that was a big boost to them. You can change out toilets and shower heads to high efficiency models inside your business, and we'll help pay for that. If you have evaporative coolers, that's the second largest user of water next to landscaping is evaporative cooling. And we certainly want to do what we can to make sure that it's as efficient as possible and doesn't waste water. Just to give you an example, Clark County School District is replacing drift eliminators in their evaporative cooling systems at 62 schools. And we're looking to save over 14 million gallons a year. And we're helping pay for those upgrades. So again, if you have an evaporative cooling, we'll help pay for that. We have incentives for commercial dishwashers, flight type dishwashers, if you have need for those, or dishwashers in your bar or restaurant, we can help pay for water efficient, energy efficient dishwashers. On a larger scale, we've helped pay for tunnel washers in giant laundry operations. If you can imagine, and I can't imagine this, doing 1 million pounds of laundry a day. To do that, they use high efficiency washers. They're called tunnel washers, and they use less than a gallon of water to wash 150 pounds of laundry. And by the way, they can wash that 150 pounds of laundry in 90 seconds. So
that's 90 seconds.
That's a quick turnaround. Yeah.
Patrick, what you just indicated here, I heard ice makers, I heard dishwashers, I heard evaporative cooling. I mean, all of these things that you're talking about really make sense in a commercial setting. Some of these things sound like they're kind of restaurant-based or certainly within that resort sector that we have down there on the Las Vegas Strip with all of that laundry. I guess we have to imagine that every single sheet and every single towel that gets used in a hotel room also gets washed using Colorado River water supplied by the Southern Nevada Water Authority, right?
That's correct.
And so that's why we're targeting these kinds of technologies, getting rid of the old technologies, bringing in more efficient technologies. That's going to allow your business to save water, save money, but continue to provide the same level of service that you have historically provided to your clients.
If you have a project and it involves a new technology or an innovative way to save water, we'll take a look at it. We'll study that. And I'll give you a great example. Ocean Spray down in Henderson. You can imagine, you know, they're bottling Ocean Spray cranberry juice and sending it all over the world from Henderson, Nevada. Their plant engineer came up with a very clever way to use the water 3 times. So they use water to wash the bottles before they're filled with the juice. And then the juice comes in, it's put in the bottles warm. They use that same water that they just washed the bottle with to cool the juice. So the juice runs through a trough of water that cools it. Then they take that water and they run it through a filter system and put it in their cooling tower. So they use it 3 times before it's blown down to the sewer from the cooling tower. So that's very creative, but that's something we've never seen before. So we actually studied that whole process for 6 months, determined what the water savings was, and paid them an incentive based on what those water savings were. So we'll look at any project, any innovative project or new technology. We want to know what's out there.
Yeah, it sounds like, if anything, it really can spur innovation within a company or a business to find a new way of doing things. I really want to know how I can get one of those tunnel washers at my house to do laundry in a minute, because I get sick of doing laundry. I'm sure the large water savings come from the landscape rebate and the water efficient technologies rebate we just talked about. But Patrick, what other programs does the SNWA offer to help businesses save water and reduce their operating costs?
We like to keep the business community engaged in water conservation. So we have some programs that are really no cost to the business. It keeps them engaged in water conservation. And it also sends a message to their customers that the business is engaged in water conservation. For example, the linen exchange program, and this is for hotels and motels, and they agree to only change their linens and towels once every 3 days during a guest stay, unless otherwise requested. So they'll have a little tent card on the sink that explains the program to their customer. And it saves about 50 gallons a day per room. And it saves about $1 per occupied room per day in operating costs for the hotel. So that's a great program, and it doesn't cost them anything. We supply the cards so they can put them in their rooms, and if they want to have a custom piece, they can do that themselves, and a lot of hotels do that with their branding and things. We do have another program. It's called Water Upon Request, and this is for restaurants. We ask restaurants not to just put water on the table for their customers. We want the customer to request water. And for every glass that's not put on a table, it saves about 6 gallons of water. And you think, where are you getting 6 gallons of water? Well, if you think about it, you have to wash the glass, so that consumes water. You have to put ice in the glass, that consumes water. And then you have to fill the glass. And so it all told is about 6 gallons of water. So we partnered with the Restaurant Association. And again, menu clings and table tents and things like that, we supply that, and it helps the restaurant, and it gives them, you know, gives their customers the idea, well, you know, the restaurant supports conservation, so we should support conservation, which is good for us. We do have a Water Smart car wash program, and we partnered with local car washes. Residents here in Southern Nevada can get on snwa.com, and they can get a car wash coupon and take it there, and they get $2 off on a car wash. We also will do multifamily water use analysis. So again, if someone at an HOA wants to figure out what their water use is, are they watering correctly? Are they overwatering? We can do an analysis based on their property size and their irrigation meters, kind of give them a snapshot of what their water use is, and then make recommendations, whether that's a smart controller or water smart landscapes conversion and reducing the turf and things like that. So we really like to engage with the community and have them support conservation and conservation programs.
So Patrick, it sounds like there's lots of opportunities that businesses can take advantage of. Where can they find out more about our programs?
Well, they can go to snwa.com. There's a conservation section under For Business, and they can click on that, and they can get a lot of information about our programs. Our general number's on there as well, so they can call that number, and they will get connected to a real person, and they can talk to one of our coordinators and get their questions answered.
Patrick, so what I'm hearing is that you and your team really provide a great resource to not only our business community, but also that HOA community. So if folks are looking at making some improvements to the property, whether it's taking out that grass or upgrading some of their water-dependent facilities, your team is there to help them through the process. And I really liked hearing about those customized options that businesses can employ from a water-saving standpoint. Now, with that, is there anything else that you think business owners should know about when it comes to water conservation for our community?
Sure. There are a lot of other benefits to businesses in terms of conservation. Certainly, reduced water bills is the biggest one, and reduced operating and maintenance costs or the cost of ownership. They want to keep those numbers in line. One of the important things is that investment bankers or people that loan money to businesses to start up here in Southern Nevada or move to Southern Nevada, they look at our water resource management and conservation strategies, and we're rated really high and favorably by investment bankers because of that. And so it benefits local and current businesses to engage in conservation because of that, because we want to keep that rating high. We want investment bankers to invest in companies moving here and build our economy. It helps us be resilient and diverse, and that's what we need here in Southern Nevada. So conservation is more than just taking out grass and saving water. It's about economics as well.
You raise a really good point, Patrick. That connection between water and a stable economy here in Southern Nevada. Look, you can't have an economy without a reliable water supply. Our water supply remains reliable as long as our community continues to do their part to conserve. Based on all that I've heard today, for what you and your team are doing, Patrick, over at the Southern Nevada Water Authority to help businesses conserve, I can say pretty straight, there is no excuse for any business in this community to continue to have grass in their landscape. We got the programs in place. We've got the tools. We just need those businesses to employ those tools. Patrick Watson from the Southern Nevada Water Authority, thank you again for being here on the Water Smarts podcast. We also appreciate you sharing all of your knowledge and expertise about these projects, helping to protect Southern Nevada's water supply. Thanks so much, Patrick.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on.
Patrick is a wealth of knowledge, isn't he, Bronson?
Oh, Patrick, it really is. I mean, he is an expert when it comes to conservation. And, you know, he's done so much work with HOAs and with the business community that he really does have a good sense of how conservation can integrate with businesses. And when you think about it, Crystal, there's no reason for businesses to not take part in our water conservation programs. It is reducing their costs. It is reducing their maintenance potentially. And then on top of that, it is benefiting their clients, their customers, the community as a whole. So it's really important that we see businesses get out there, take out that useless grass, participate in the Water Efficient Technologies Program. And SNWA member agencies like the City of Henderson are also building upon those programs. In fact, the City of Henderson is really encouraging businesses within Henderson to participate in the Water Smart Landscape Program. And to tell us more about that, we have with us Tina Chen, the Customer Care and Conservation Supervisor for the City of Henderson. Tina, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the Water Smarts podcast.
Hi, Bronson. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Tina, obviously, the City of Henderson has a very large population of Southern Nevadans that depend upon the city to provide the reliable quality water that you deliver or continue to be high water users every single day. But, you know, Tina, businesses that get their water from the City of Henderson and other SNWA member agencies are eligible for our water conservation rebates and programs. But I understand that the City of Henderson has provided some additional funding and incentives to the Water Smart Landscape Program. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. So right now, SNWA offers $3 per square foot of grass that is replaced with Water Smart Landscaping. The $3 is applicable to 10,000 square feet per site per year. After 10,000 square feet, the SNWA rebate drops from $3 to $1.50 per square feet. What we at the City of Henderson are doing is temporarily supplementing the SNWA incentive. So we are adding $1.50 per square foot, starting at 10,000 square feet and up to 40,000 square feet. What that means with the Henderson supplement is that a customer may receive $3 per square foot up to 40,000 square feet. It is a substantial increase in rebate money. For example, a 40,000 square feet conversion without the Henderson supplement, the incentive would be $75,000. But with the Henderson supplement, a 40,000 square feet conversion would increase that from $75,000 to $120,000 in incentives. Our program is a first-come, first-served program. It is a limited-time offer until funding is exhausted. So we definitely encourage our customers to apply sooner rather than later.
That's a pretty good deal. If I lived in Henderson, I don't. If I did, I think I'd be running outside right now to take out my grass. That's pretty impressive. Tina, what made or prompted the City of Henderson to sweeten the pot on this cash incentive or rebate program, if you will?
Yeah. So, you know, Henderson is committed to doing our part in reducing our water footprint and conserving water. And we know that the SNWA Water Smart Landscape Program is one of the most successful programs in conserving water. So the city wanted to help accelerate the timeline in converting non-functional turf. So the first question we asked ourselves is, well, where is the non-functional turf in Henderson? We definitely want to support natural turf in areas that make sense, like parks, playgrounds, and athletic fields. But we know it's important to replace natural turf in areas that don't make so much sense and that are non-functional or only serving an aesthetic purpose, such as roundabouts, medians, streetscapes, and parking lots. I know we've all seen them driving around. We looked at data, and what the data showed us is that an overwhelming majority of non-functional turf is in the non-single-family residential sector. So we built our program with the intention to accelerate conversions in the non-single-family sector, such as the commercial sector, industrial, and multifamily sectors. Many Henderson businesses support replacing non-functional turf. And we believe that with the additional incentive, it will not only entice more businesses to participate, but also help businesses save money and streamline their operating costs.
Thanks for clarifying that, Tina. So when we talk about the non-single-family residential sector, we're pretty much talking about every other property, business, apartment complex, condos that aren't just your standard single-family home that we've all come to know and love, right?
That is correct.
So let me ask you this, Tina. Have you found that more businesses are stepping up and taking advantage of the WaterSmart Landscape program, the rebate, and that supplement?
Well, our supplement program launched in January of this year, so it is relatively new. We are working hard in contacting customers and working with sites that may qualify for our program. And the response that we've received so far is positive. People are very interested in our program.
Since this is an added benefit to the SNWA's cash incentive program, when the businesses apply, do they apply through the Water Authority? And then is the additional supplement automatically included?
Well, the Henderson incentive will be coming directly from the city, and we will need tax identification information. So there is a very simple application on contacthenderson.com that we ask our customers to submit. However, we do work very closely with Water Authority staff, and we try to make it as effortless and painless as possible for our customers.
So Tina, I know the City of Henderson supports all of the SNWA conservation initiatives. But can you tell us about any other projects or efforts that may be in addition to what the Water Authority is doing?
Of course. So we use data a lot, and we try to look at areas in the city that seem to have a high concentration of high water users. We develop marketing and educational outreach specifically to those areas in an effort to reduce water usage. Some other projects that we have in the pipeline, for example, we work with the city's Parks and Recreation Department, and every year we prioritize city parks that have an opportunity for non-functional turf conversions or redesigns to make them more water efficient. This year, we are doing conversions at 4 different city parks with a total of 120,000 square feet of turf being converted. Another project we worked on last year with Parks and Recreation in the City of Henderson was we worked on converting athletic fields from fescue, which is a cool season grass that stays green all year round and is water thirsty. And we converted to Bermuda, which is a warm season grass that is less water thirsty and goes dormant in the winter. And lastly, we are working on increasing our water waste field enforcement efforts, especially with summer right around the corner. So around this time last year in March, we conducted close to 300 water waste investigations to ensure our customers are using water responsibly. Field enforcement really is a last resort, though, but we do believe it takes all of the different tools we have available to us to achieve conservation efforts. We really are all in this together, and we all need to do our part.
Tina, you just really hit on the soft spot in my heart as far as all of us being in this together, all of us contributing to our conservation success. And the conservation that we put forth today is water that we get to store for our future. So it really makes sense to get out there, conserve that water. I loved hearing that City of Henderson is data-driven and reaching their customers. That additional cash incentive to remove the grass in commercial and multifamily properties. Listen, if you are a business owner, if you are a property manager and you have property in the City of Henderson and you have grass in that property, it is time to cash in. You want to make sure you're checking in with the Southern Nevada Water Authority so you're applying for the WaterSmart Landscape Rebate Program before you start taking out that grass. You also want to check in with the City of Henderson on their Contact Us page so that you can fill out their form too. Listen, folks, this is free money that's out there. Simply by upgrading your landscaping, we're going to pay you to do that. We want you to do that. We need you to do that. And thank you so much for all that the City of Henderson has been doing. I know that you've done a lot on your parks, keeping those parks spacious and available for the community, but also making them more water efficient. So whether you live in Henderson, Boulder City, North Las Vegas, Clark County, or the City of Las Vegas, like you said, we are all in this together, and we appreciate everything that the City of Henderson is doing. You've been a great partner in conservation. We got more work to do. We just need the community to step up and do their part as well, because just like Tina said, we are all in this together. Tina Chen from the city of Henderson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Water Smarts podcast and sharing a little bit more about what Henderson is doing to keep our community water smart.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great chatting with you guys today. Have a nice day.
Take care.
Thanks, Tina.
The Water Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Southern Nevada Water Authority, which reminds you to follow the mandatory seasonal watering restrictions. You can find your assigned watering days on snwa.com. And you'll also find landscape tips and rebate coupons that help you save water and money.
Whether you're a business owner or on the board of a neighborhood homeowners association, we can help your organization save water and money. The Water Authority offers a variety of cash incentives and programs. So give your property a facelift and replace that grass with a vibrant new landscape. Mediterranean style is my favorite. And you'll get $3 a square foot as a cash incentive through the WaterSmart Landscape Rebate Program. Visit snwa.com and don't forget to apply before you start taking out that grass.
Or upgrade your plumbing fixtures or evaporative cooling systems through the Water Efficient Technologies Rebate Program, which helps pay for the installation of water-saving devices. If it saves water, we probably have a rebate for it. Find out more about our conservation programs at snwa.com or by calling 702-258-SAVE.
Well, Crystal, another great episode here on the Water Smarts podcast. I really learned a lot. How about you?
I always do. I think there's some key messages in here. And one for me is that I think that when we talk about grass or useless grass throughout the community, a lot of times we just picture lawns. And we think of people's homes and more of the older homes that still have larger lawns that exist. But really, when you just drive around and you start to notice it, you see the grass in medians and outside businesses along sidewalks. And it's just a reminder to everybody that the grass is there. It should come out. And there's so many opportunities through the Water Authority cash incentives to get rid of it.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. You know, really trying to get rid of that grass that's out there in the community that nobody's using, that nobody's benefiting from. It just sits there on the side of the road as we drive by it at 45 miles an hour. You hit it right on the head, Crystal. We need to get rid of that grass. And it's great to hear that the city of Henderson and a lot of our partners here in Southern Nevada are doing their part to try and get rid of that grass, to be more water smart. We just need to make sure that all of our residents and all of our businesses are doing that. You can find more information out at snwa.com. Well, that's it for this episode of Water Smarts. We hope you subscribe and listen in next time. You got any questions about water? We want to hear about it. Send your questions to watersmarts@snwa.com or by going to the Contact Us page on our website, snwa.com. We'll make sure to get back with you with an answer. And, you know, if your question's good enough, you might even hear it on the air. Well, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you here next time on Water Smarts.